Right. Hi, everyone. Well, today I'm kicking this thing off. Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay, great. We are doing something that we call Pastors Roundtable. It was on our schedule today as Pastors of the Roundtable, which I love. I love that. I think we might have,
a graphic
for that, maybe.
You're here.
Not yet.
But this is a time where we just all kind of, all the pastors get together, and we've been doing this the past couple years, right? A year or two, maybe? Where we just kind of come on stage and we talk about where we're going next as a church and what we want that to look like and all of those fun things. So we have a few questions prepared that we thought when we got together at our staff meeting, we got these together and we just said, you know, what do we want the church to hear from our perspective of where we're going in the next year? And we put together some questions and just things that we want to share, stuff we want to talk about. And it doesn't all quite necessarily fit into a sermon, but it's just a more relaxed time. We brought our coffee or water up here, and we hope that if you guys didn't get a cup of coffee, feel free to go grab a cup and sit and drink coffee with us as we kind of talk about what we're doing here at the, oh, goodness gracious, Pastors of the Roundtable. There we go. Love. So, all right. Are we ready for our first question? Does anyone want to say anything before we get started?
No.
I do.
Okay.
Because I forgot an announcement this morning.
You're bad at that.
I am bad at that. I'm trying, though.
I do announcements.
And it starts like this. Is anyone interested in helping out with sound? We got some hands up. Oh, I love it. Yeah. It looks like we have people. So, so grateful to people who help with sound. So, Charles, are you taking note? Roger? All right. So, we got some. I saw a hand over here, too, I think. Did I see another hand? All right. So, we got at least two. Three. Okay, it was there. All right. Three hands. Very good. Thank you. So I don't have to keep talking. That's great.
Done.
Let's move into our discussion.
All right. Well, we're going to start, I think, with, it's like bad news, good news. I always want the bad news first. And just so we can end on a good note and feel like better about ourselves a little bit. So we're going to start off with a question. And our first question is, what do you think are some of the biggest challenges that we face as Christians? Big question. What are some of the biggest challenges that we face as Christians?
Yeah.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So when I thought about this question, you know, I feel like it's like twofold. I feel like Christians, both from other Christians and from non-Christians, there's like expectations of who, like what you're supposed to be like. And I think a lot of other, there's like a lot of other Christians who may look at you and say, well, you're not Christian-y enough, you know, or you don't believe the right things, or you don't think like me, so you're probably not really a Christian. But then there's also like from non-believers, they maybe see the Christians that they think are bad Christians. And honestly, depending on what you believe, it could be a myriad of different types of Christians, and think, well, I don't want to be like them, you know. And I just, there's like this stigma that Christians are supposed to be a certain way. And the family of God is so diverse and so beautiful and so unique, I think, that I wish that weren't so. I wish that we could say, well, I want to follow the way of Jesus, and that's what makes me a Christian. Not whether I subscribe to a certain set of doctrines or dogmas, or that I look a certain way, but that I have said with my words and with my actions, like, I want to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so I get frustrated that people try to pigeonhole either me or just Christians in general, or they look at examples of what the bad Christians are, whatever you think that means, and they say, "Well, I don't want to follow Jesus because I don't want to be like them." Well, then don't follow Jesus and don't be like them. You don't have to. That's fine. So for me, that's like, it's like that there has to be one certain way of what a Christian means. That's very frustrating to me. And I think it turns a lot of people away from Jesus, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
That kind of fits into what I had listed. And I couldn't quite verbalize it the way I wanted to. I think the closest I got was peer pressure, and that wasn't quite exactly it. But I think we face a lot of peer pressure from a political nature. I think on both sides of the aisle, you have people who are telling you what you should think. But I think the biggest challenge that we face is we start listening to outside voices first instead of trusting in the Holy Spirit with what God is prompting our hearts to do. That is the right thing. And I think that it's not necessarily that other people are bad inherently, but it's that anything, listening to anything above listening to what God is telling you in your heart, in your conscience, you know, in what you're studying is bad, listening to anything other than that first. And so it's not that we can't use those other things to help guide us or help us understand or interpret, but also understanding that like somebody else's opinion is just somebody else's opinion. And it can be a really trusted person. Like Jenny was talking about the Bible reading. One of them is through the Bible Project, Tim Mackey. I really trust Tim Mackey's opinion, but I shouldn't be listening to Tim Mackey first. Like I should be listening to the Holy Spirit in my life first. And that is a whole nother set of problems of how do we listen to the Holy Spirit and the voice of God? And good thing is we're going to get into that in the next few weeks. But I think that to me is my biggest challenge is I want to find a quick and easy answer of like, oh, it should look like this. And there's a whole world full of people who are going to tell you how it's supposed to be. And they're just itching to tell you. And I just don't think that is a great way to function. And I think that's what gets us into a lot of trouble as Christians is that we've let somebody else tell us what is right versus doing the work and sitting and listening to the Holy Spirit and figuring out what's right by listening to God himself for ourselves.
So should they listen to us?
Ugh. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I hope that I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, but I don't think that you should listen to me before you listen to the Holy Spirit. I hope that I'm able to help you listen to the Holy Spirit.
So we're not a cult.
I hope not.
Okay, good.
I don't think I get paid enough for this to be a cult.
For me, I was thinking of discouragement and disappointments. Is when you start off following Jesus, a lot of times there's that euphoria at first, and you have an expectation of what it's going to be like, and then it turns out so differently than what you think. And that can be, I was thinking of doing ministry too, and I think of like challenges of people if they start something. I mean, there's a lot of times when nobody shows up, or like, why is it not different than this? So discouragement, disappointment, I think those are a couple of really big factors of that can take away our fire, take away our desire to follow Jesus. And I equate it with something that Jesus himself said, the parable of the sower or seeds, because the first seeds, they get thrown and then birds come and take them away. And Jesus compared to that like a hard heart. And I don't think we have many people. I don't think people come into the church usually if they just have a hard heart and that the seeds are just gone. But then he gets in and the soil is shallow. So because it's shallow, when troubles start to come, like that level of discouragement just gets so big, then everything just kind of falls apart with that vine or the plant that's supposed to be taking root. And then next, it's the thorns and the thistles. It starts to grow and then it gets choked out. And that could be like the deceit, the anxieties, pressures, deceit of wealth. And it can just choke that desire out, or we get overwhelmed, overloaded, busy, anxious, fearful, and that can do it. But then the last set is the seed that actually goes, and that it makes more and more and more. But to do that, like, that's not an immediate process, it's a plant. And that's how I think sometimes we think it should be, like, oh, I should be doing so much more. But with the seed metaphor, it's difficult. You have to survive some of that. Mm-hmm. And so surviving the disappointment, the discouragement, and looking to Jesus for that, to me, is one of the difficulties that we face in following Jesus.
Yeah, and I think there was a whole list of hardships and challenges that we face as Christians we didn't even get into. I think maybe those are the ones just, like, relevant on our minds and what we're going through and seeing. But let's pivot into something a little bit different, which is, tell us a story from the past year that gave you hope. And this is going to be from a personal perspective, like, from our lives, something that, like, gave me hope personally.
Well, the story that came to my mind is seeing some of our younger, to me, I'm 47, so people in their 20s or 30s or teens, they're younger people to me, but seeing the way that the younger people gathered and, like, love one another. And one particular story happened in the midst of something that was pretty disappointing. I was on, if you don't know, I was on sabbatical leave this summer. And my son Caleb went to Camp Challenge, to church camp there. Within 24 hours, he broke his elbow. We didn't know it at the time. But one of the things that really encouraged me is that Katie, who is she in the nursery today?
Yeah.
Okay, Katie Thomas, not Farrell, Katie Thomas, was the nurse there. She's volunteering. She's a teacher and then volunteering to be a nurse there that week. And she was the one who called me and was very reassuring. You know, our parents are hearing our son may be injured, but she was taking very good care of him. And then one of his cabin counselors was Ben Harris, also another person here. They're sitting together today too. How perfect is that? But Ben and Katie drove Caleb around to urgent care and did all the necessary care. It took really great care of him. And for me to see the church in action through Katie and through Ben gave me a lot of hope for the future too, to see how they really blessed my family and made them, and the way they encouraged Caleb, and they had a great time despite his broken elbow, and he even got ice cream out of it, right? Not quite worth it, maybe, but pretty close. Time with Ben, yeah. So that gives me a lot of hope to see, especially younger people, the way that they care for one another and are there and yeah, the one anothering.
Yeah, I think my story that I thought of, and I've told this a little bit, I think, right when I got back, but while Daniel was on sabbatical this summer, I was the one attempting to be at the helm. Part of my compensation was the church let me leave for 3 weeks and go to Scotland and do a pilgrimage to Scotland and just restore my faith and get a new perspective and study some of the Celtic saints and in what they were doing. And it was really life-changing, but I had a moment that, you know, it was supposed to kind of be a mini sabbatical for me. Like, you know, like, Daniel has been in ministry. You were in ministry 20 years before you took a sabbatical. And I covered for a summer, and it was supposed to be like a mini trip that I could go on just to kind of reset after the work that I did in the summer. And I was sitting in the Scottish Highlands looking up at the mountains and this, like, beautiful area. And I'm sitting on a rock, like, this beautiful brook in front of me. And it was a Sunday morning, and I just started crying because I was like, I wanted to be here. and I was in the most beautiful place, and it was wonderful. And it was all I could ever imagine, except it wasn't home. And home really had turned into Meridian. And even though, like, Sundays are work days for me, and sometimes, like, I don't always come in with an attitude of, like, yeah, I gotta go to church. It's like going to work. But it was one of those things where it was like, it was nice to know in my soul, like, somewhere deep down, it was like, this is where I wanted to be. And, like, there's something about this space that, like, even when I'm in the most beautiful space, a space that I've dreamed of and planned for and was able to be because of the church who sent me, you know, it was like all I wanted to be was back in, you know, the south side of Indianapolis at a little corner church. And I think that just like really made me hopeful about what we're doing here at Meridian. It's not just like somewhere we show up on Sundays. It's like a place that we're drawn to. And I was on the other side of the world than a place most people would, you know, die to be in. And, you know, all I wanted to do was go back to, you know, I wish I was in a seat in our sanctuary. So I think that just like put it in perspective for me a little bit.
Well, for me, I don't have a specific, one specific story over the last year, but as I kind of reflected, you may or may not know, but 2024 was a really terrible year for me personally. I had a lot of personal stuff happen. But, you know, so going into 2025, I joked last year that I was like going to like sneak into 2025. Like, I don't want to make a fuss. I just want to like survive. Like last year was rough. Let's just get through it. But I'll tell you, in the difficulty of 2024, it really made me lean into some of my like core relationships in my life. You know, some of my friends that I have maybe not been as close to in the past few years, or you know, some of my family maybe. And what I saw through that was I really re-strengthened and rekindled some of those relationships, and those got stronger through leaning into each other through hard times. And you know, it just reminded me of the verse in Romans that says, "We know in all things that God works for the good for those who love Him." And I just, that really gave me hope to think, yeah, not all circumstances are good, and I don't think God caused those things to happen, but because of just my ability, I guess, to just lean into those relationships, God worked for the good through those circumstances. I didn't make those circumstances better. They were still terrible, but several of my relationships that matter to me the most were strengthened, and that gave me hope. That gave me the hope, that reminded me of the hope that, you know, God is reconciling all things back to Himself, that if we trust Him and we love Him and we lean in, that He is restoring all things. And that really made this year better for me because of just the closeness I felt to those in my community.
Yeah, there's a lot to be thankful for, and I think there's a lot of things. I mean, it was hard to pick out stuff. It was just, there was a lot of good that happened, and when, you know, sometimes it doesn't feel like it, when you start thinking about good things, you'll find them. And so I want to switch a similar vein, a little bit different, but I want us to tell about something that someone in our congregation did that encouraged us. So something that someone else in our congregation did that encouraged us.
I'll start again. Again, I'm bad at specifics, so I don't have a specific example. But one of them's not here today, unfortunately, but I am just constantly encouraged by these young guys that share the platform with me every week. No offense, Rick or my mom. Love you guys too. But Alec and Nathan and Ben, and Nathan's not here today. I know I saw Alec somewhere. Nope, he's leaning over there. And Ben's around here somewhere too. But man, just not even their musical ability, which is phenomenal, but just their heart for each other, their heart for this church, their willingness to come in on the weekends and volunteer doing other stuff or helping with youth or helping with special events. And also just the relationship they have outside of church, that they're just killing it. They're just some amazing young men, and I love getting to share the platform with them every week and just to chat and be a part of their lives. Like I may sound weird, but I look up to them. I think they're some pretty awesome dudes. And so they encourage me constantly. So yeah, sorry I broke the rules again. I don't have a specific example. But that's kind of my MO. I break rules.
It's okay. I picked three instead of one, so I'll make up for it. I can't pick. You guys are great. And there was like so much. I felt so encouraged this summer. when Daniel was gone, and I just felt so out of my depth. I just like felt constantly, I know that not everything I did was everybody's favorite, but you guys really just surrounded me and lifted me up, and that was really cool. But I think recently, like the prayer ministry, Cheryl and Jeannie and Alan, like your constant like, hey, I'm gonna pray for you, or hey, like let's stop and pray, has been such an encouragement to my soul of just knowing that, like, you know, people say like, oh, I'll pray for you, but like actually like hearing someone be like, nope, I'm gonna stop and pray for you. And I know like Kathy has prayed for me. She prayed for me Maundy Thursday, and that was like really impactful for me. And just like the prayer that has been happening at Meridian, you know, I really appreciate all the pastoral support of at Christmas and pastor appreciation, like the extra support. It's very, very kind, and it's, I love it, and I really appreciate it. But the prayer, especially if there's someone being like, hey, I'm going to pray for you, and or I am praying for you, like that, I know that the, when people here say that, they mean it. And I can know, like, in a really hard time, it's like, it's all right. Cheryl's praying for me. Everything's going to be okay because Cheryl's praying for me. And I'm going to be okay. But also, recently, Miss Carol's friendship, Carol Dickhouse. This is the second week we're calling you out. I'm so sorry. But I've just had the best time becoming friends with Miss Carol. And we got to go out to dinner. And I just, like, the conversation was just, like, a breath of fresh air for me, of just, like, seeing that there are people who are excited about Jesus and just, like, want to be kind. Like, that's Miss Carol's whole thing, is, like, just be kind to others. And it's so refreshing, like, running into someone that is doing what I want to do better than I'm doing it. and being like, wow, that she is really doing that, and I can do it too. So that was really encouraging, of just, like, having a role model to look after in that way, of just someone who, like, is being kind to people in whatever circumstance or way that they can, just having that be their starting place has been really helpful. And then, yeah, our youth group is amazing. And my youth staff is incredible, and our students are incredible. I tell people all the time, like, I did not want to do youth ministry, but I would never dream of quitting youth ministry with these kids. I just wouldn't. Our students are just the best. Like, I don't know. I look at other people's students, I'm like, I wouldn't want to teach your kids. I like my kids. But they're just so nice, and they look after people, and they include people, and they ask good questions, and they really want to grow in their faith, and they're honest about, like, when they don't understand something, or they don't believe something, or they don't buy something that we're selling, like, they'll just say, like, hey, like, we need to talk about this. And I think that's so cool. And they're funny. And my youth staff is just amazing. They're, like, my best friends, literally. And they love me, and they love our students. And, I can't think of another. We're small, but I see more, like, spiritual growth, like, in our youth group than I see in a lot of other bigger youth groups, of, like, kids who are actually, like, no, I'm going to build my faith for the future. And I'm, like, making commitment to my faith right now. And that is just, like, unheard of in a lot of youth ministries. And so I just consider myself incredibly blessed and encouraged by, like, actually having students that, like, make it fun to come in and do youth ministry. So
I saw this quote recently, and it resonated with me so much that I wanted to share it. Quietly faithful church members should never underestimate the encouragement they bring to pastors. And that's one of the things we really want to communicate. You probably hear that we're very grateful to be able to play, to be a part of this congregation. So if you are just doing things quietly to you, you have no idea the encouragement that you bring quietly. And one of my fears with something like this is that there's people may feel overlooked. I know there's some award shows that I sit through, and they're miserable because it almost, like, makes you feel like, well, I'm irrelevant compared to what, you know, people are talking about. But that's not the intention at all. We're just trying to put a little bit of focus on some things that are overlooked. And if you're one of those ones thinking this morning, like, what I do is overlooked and they're overlooking me again. We don't intend that. That's not the heart for this thing. It's just these kind of little things, and we're just given a few examples of some of the things that we see. And when I think about encouragement and courage, because like discouragement is a big deal, but one person whose courage really blesses me is Kathy Crank. Kathy has courage without callousness. So a lot of times people have a lot of bravado and they seem brave and courageous, but maybe they have a cold heart. Kathy's the opposite of that. She's got courage and is caring. And this is her last year on the advisory council. She's our chairperson right now, and I'm already mourning her going off next year. But her courage and just the way that her and John go and serve people is so encouraging. Few other things. John Kelly sends me very encouraging emails almost every week that points me to Jesus, just quietly behind the scenes. We have Jesse Klein here, 97. Is that the right age? 96. Okay, I'm not going to. Okay. In April. I'm giving it to you too early. In April, and she drives to church and brings her daughter Tammy, and has brought other people too, but that is just so encouraging to me to see her, and it's always a warm hug from her on a Sunday morning. I got some very encouraging news this morning. Art Robertson is not moving. He was gonna. I always love it when people stay when they're gonna leave. So that was very encouraging because he's a big part of like helping people feel like they belong and people feel seen out, and that the quiet ministry that he does. So that was very encouraging to me. He was going to move to Florida. We prayed for him and Jessica, his wife, but it's not. They're not going now. So they're in Indianapolis. And lastly, gosh, I know you hate it when I do this, but Brandon, sometimes. Like a person who's like the life of a party and fun all the time. Like you don't see like the maturity and the peace. So Brandon notices a lot of things despite being wired to have fun. He's constantly a person who's passing peace, and like his steady example, his consistency has been a big encouragement to me and to others. So sorry for that, but...
I'm not sorry. All right. We just have one last question, and this is a very big and open-ended question, and I'm excited to see kind of what we're all thinking here. But it says, what do you think the Lord is calling us, Meridian, to? What do you think the Lord is calling us to?
I went first twice already. I'm not going first again.
What was that?
I went first twice already.
Okay, yeah.
You go first.
Yeah. Well, a ministry that I absolutely loved and just really appreciated the first time I heard it was explaining. It was born out of this congregation before I even really knew what this congregation was. But it explained that there's only one Savior, and it's not me. And that is so true. It's about Jesus. It's about Christ. It's about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Christ is the Savior, not us. And that's just such a great, great perspective. And I love the summons because it was about loving neighbors. But the challenge, and I heard this in Illinois, the challenge was not to come love our neighbors in Indianapolis. It was love your neighbors where you are. And Cheryl Stolitz helped me really clarify something. I really want this to be a place where people feel seen. It's one of the things I love about having a smaller size. We don't have a vision to be a huge church. Like, we want to be productive and effective and reach people, but it's about people. We really, really want people to feel seen. I love the story of Hagar, the immigrant who runs away from Abram and then is found and experiences like in a very desperate, vulnerable state. The Lord sees her, and she recognizes that the Lord is El Roy, the God who sees. And that story, to me, like, encapsulates what I wish we could be, what I hope to be, our aspiration of an immigrant or somebody especially vulnerable or feels overlooked all the time, but like knowing that the Lord sees the poor, the Lord sees the overlooked, and that we can do that as best as we can. So making disciples is always part of it, but like getting to that point where we do it, we want to be disciples who are known for love, and a lot of that is seeing people. And so the more people that we have that can see other people, because there's just three of us, like we can't see everybody every week. But the more people that we have that sense of belonging, and then we hope that as we gather and we belong, people feel seen and they belong, and then they come to believe in Christ and believe in like our worth, and then like get transformed and become like more and more like Jesus, our best version of ourselves, and then become people who bless others and help others be seen. So that's a lot of it, is helping others feel seen and like gathering as we try to make disciples of Jesus, the one who makes disciples, not us.
Well, you already said it, but our stated mission here at Meridian is to make disciples that are known for love. And I feel like a broken record all the time because I say this just constantly. But I mean, to me, it's very simple. Like, there are not a lot of places in this world where you can go and you can just know that you're loved. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter at all what your, I don't know, what your, where you come from, what your political affiliation is. Honestly, it barely matters to me what your theology is, truthfully. Barely. But man, if we can be known as people who love and are known for love, and if you can walk into this space each and every week and know that you are loved, and that first off, that God loves you, and that we here in this community love you. It doesn't matter like what you believe about whatever. It doesn't matter so long as you believe that we're called to love each other, and we're called to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. You know, to be kind and gracious and generous and all those things. I didn't say them right, but you know the fruit of the Spirit things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness.
There it is.
You know, that's it. To me, that's what success looks like. That's what it means to be a church, to be a community of God, is the greatest commandment, right? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Like that's it. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. Of course, loving people is complicated at times, and so there's complexity within love, but that's it. There are a lot of, I know there are some faith communities, some sects of Christianity, if you will, that one of their staples is that they have no test of fellowship, that you are welcome to be a part of our community no matter what. And I think we pretty much prescribe to that too, is that like we want you to be a part of our community. We want you to know that you're loved, and that we want you to be a person who is loving. And to me, that's it. So that's my heart. I hope that people that walk into this space feel that each and every week, and that then exhibit that throughout their week. I will die on that hill.
Yeah, I think my where I took this question is kind of a piece that started stirring in me in Scotland on my pilgrimage, and that was we got into a routine where every morning we would wake up and surrender our day to the Holy Spirit. And we would say, okay, here are our plans. Change them if you need to. And we just got in a habit of every day. And our plans were changed in many different ways. And it was just this idea of every single day surrendering our plans to the Holy Spirit, following the Holy Spirit every single day, in little things and in big things. And I think that, you know, if you've been around Meridian for, I would say, the past few months, you can kind of feel this stirring that's happening. It kind of has a different feeling here in the last few months. And we believe that God is doing something here at Meridian. And we don't really know what that is. And we don't really know what that's going to look like. But I think a couple of things are really important if we want to lean into that. And one is, I agree with Brandon and Daniel of, like, we need to be a place where people feel seen and people feel like they can have access to the Lord. if they are seeking the Lord, they should be able to find the Lord here. But also, I think that we need to change the way we define success. Success isn't measured in numbers or baptisms or first-time conversions. Those are all really good things. Don't get me wrong. Those are all really, really good things. But they cannot be how we define success. Success is doing kingdom work. Success is following the great commandment, the greatest commandments, you know, of loving the Lord and loving our neighbors. And it is sharing the love of God. And if we are known as people who share the love of God, that is success. And then we just have to say, okay, God, here are our plans. Change them if you need to. And we as a congregation are going to find what God is leading us to as a church. And I think it's going to be really exciting, and I think it's going to be probably a little crazy, and I think we're going to get there, and we're going to say, how did that ever happen? Like, I truly believe that we'll come back to this Sunday, you know, next year and say, what? Whoa, that was crazy. I truly believe that. Like, God is doing something in our midst and in our lives. And you could feel it here, but it's going to take all of us surrendering to the Holy Spirit every day, because God is going to call all of us to a piece of the work that he's doing. So wherever it is in our life, like, not only do we have to be like the ones like saying, okay, God, what do you want for us? But you have to be saying, okay, God, what do you want for us? And how do I fit into that piece? And I've learned from experience that when we do that, you're never going to guess where you're going to go. But it's going to be really, really fun. There's going to be a lot of really hard challenges and tough decisions and hardship, but trusting that God is working all things to the good of those who love him. And in Revelation 21, I have this marked, Revelation 21:5, it says, "And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.'" And I think God wants to do a new thing. And I'm just excited to see what that is. And so I think, what is the Lord calling us to? I think he's calling us to a new thing. And it's going to take following some old ways, going back to some ancient ways, to do a new thing. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, well said. Thank you. So we've only got one award, it looks like.
Yeah.
Ananias.
Yeah, so today we're going to be giving out one of what we do yearly awards here, if you're not familiar. We've got three or four awards that we normally give out every year. And again, we don't want these to be, well, they honored this person and not me, right? We don't want it to feel that way at all. We try to pick different people every year who have stood out in a way that we think that a little extra just bringing it attention would do good for them, but also for us. I was saying, like, oh, you're right. I could be more like this person in this way. It just helps us see the family of God in a different way. So over the next few weeks, we'll be giving out a few of these awards. We're giving out one today, and that's the Ananias Award. If you're not familiar, Ananias was the person chosen to help Saul, before he turned into Paul, kind of get the ropes of Christianity. Saul was a treacherous murderer, and nobody wanted to help him do anything, and God said, Ananias is going to be you. And Ananias was like, are you sure? And God was like, yeah, I'm really sure. He was like, okay, and he did it, and he was faithful, and it was really hard, and it was probably really scary, and it was a job nobody wanted. But the Ananias Award always goes to a person who will do the hard jobs, who maybe will take it on the chin sometimes, you know, when things are going wrong, they'll take a few punches, and they do some difficult things, but they do it with a great attitude, and they do it in a way that just makes things a little bit easier. And the person who won this award this year, I think, does that so well. They do a lot, and they do a lot, and they're very thoughtful. And they're very intentional, and they do some really hard things with a really good attitude, and with a good sense of humor as well.
Yeah, and this person, again, I think has about the roughest job here, and has had courage, because that's the other thing. And so this person demonstrated a lot of courage in the face of pain and a lot of loyalty to this congregation. While I was on sabbatical, this person really pushed to be a big part of this congregation. So this year's Ananias Award winner is Caleb Miller. Come on up. And he's my son.
I was going to stand up at first as a joke.
He thought it was going to be a joke. One thing, Caleb's got a great heart, a big heart that really cares about people. Laura, I almost said Sellers. Laura his parents are missionaries and knows like how hard that role is. Pastor Emily knows how hard that role is, but Caleb's borne it really well, as have Violet and Cora, my daughters. But this year, just wanted to recognize you. You've got a big heart. He was doing something recently, and it's just like it showed his overwhelming caring for people. And I noticed that. I said, "Wow, Caleb, you have a really big heart." And he said, "Thanks, Dad. I got my big heart from my mom." And it's true. Proud of you. Congratulations. All right.
Well, we're so blessed. Like I said, I do work with the coolest kids. But we are so blessed to be on staff here. I know we say it a lot, and I don't think you guys believe us, but it is not this good out there for a lot of pastors. A lot of pastors are not in healthy places, and they don't love going to work on Sunday mornings. And I think I can confidently say that we enjoy being here and being on staff here. And we feel incredibly blessed to be in a church with a healthy board of advisory council members. We're blessed to be in a place where, like, anybody I could go up to and say, like, "Can you help me?" And he will say yes. And be actually encouraged by people in the congregation and not discouraged, which is what a lot of people face. So we love you and we see you. And if you are ever in a place where you're like, "I'm just struggling feeling seen," please come talk to us. It takes a lot of courage to do that. And I know that. But we don't want anyone to feel like they're not a part of this congregation. And so if you need help, like, plugging in or, like, some intentional, like, one-on-one conversation, like, please reach out. Like, we will not take offense to that at all. We want to help you feel connected here. But we love you guys. I'm going to pray for us, and then we've got a couple of songs that we're going to sing. So if you'll bow your heads and pray with me. God, thank you so much for today and for Meridian and for this year and all of the goodness and adventures that we've had over the past year. God, I pray that you will continue to just be a guide for us as we learn to listen to your voice. God, I pray that you will help us see you in everyone that we meet. And I pray that everyone that we meet will see you in us. God, I pray that we will love you above all else. And I pray that we will love our neighbors so well. I pray that anyone who walks through these doors in 2026 will feel seen and loved. And whether or not they stay here or not, God, I pray that they will be blessed for showing up. God, I pray that you will fix our eyes on you, tune our ears to you and your voice. God, I pray that you will help us surrender our plans to the Holy Spirit and take us on a wild adventure full of goodness and love and grace. We love you so much, and we pray that you will be with us in the next year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand as we close with this song this morning? Your grace will never